Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kreitcher, and I will be your host today. I feel a little bit under the weather. I have a little bit of a cold, but I think this radio show today is way more important than just a little cold to hold back a little cold. So this is just such a great story that we're going to have today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program. This is one of the core programs brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information both about Autism Empowerment and our Autism Scouting Program, after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. There you can join us on Facebook and Twitter. We tend to be very social media friendly, so you can, there's a lot of ways you can connect with us there. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive via podcast or via iTunes, you can do so and get the information on the website as well. Today marks our 35th show. So I want to thank all of our prior guests for coming on. It's a huge success for Autism Scouting Radio. We're now over 9,000 listens. It's just every day we're getting more and more people tuning in and listening, and we really appreciate that. Before we get to today's show, I want to thank my last guest, which is Tony May, who is the BSA National Chair for Special Needs Scouting. We talked to him on Wednesday about extensions and the use of the ISAP, which is the Individual Scout Advancement Plan, which is kind of similar to an IEP for Scouts. Today we have a very special guest, and I've been looking forward to having him on the air for quite some time now. Actually, we started trying to get him on back a couple months ago, and through all of the different things, we finally got him on, and I'm very happy about that. This is part of our Inspiration from the Spectrum collection. Our guest today has Asperger's, and on Saturday, December 8th, is a very big day for him. It's his Eagle Court of Honor, a rank that's very, very few scouts ever see. And so for any scout to reach this level, it's just amazing, and it's such a great honor. Joey has done an amazing job, and he's achieved so much as a scout. He started as a Tiger Scout and worked all the way through the Cub Scouting program and then obviously into the Boy Scouting program to reach its highest pinnacle, which is he'll be honored to tomorrow. The road to Eagle has not been a smooth one, though, for Joey. There's been a lot of bumps and turns and twists along the road, and we're going to talk to him about that, but we're also going to talk about those incredible great things that he really loves about scouting, and how any scout, no matter if you're on the autism spectrum or not, can reach for the ultimate prize in Boy Scouting in the United States. I have a ton of questions for Joey, so I'm just going to go ahead and get him right on the air. Welcome, Joey.
Hey, Mr. John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good today.
Oh, that's awesome. I understand that you're actually at where your Court of Honor is going to be tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir. We're setting up right now.
That's awesome. And first of all, from everyone here at Autism Empowerment and Autism and Scouting, congratulations on such a great achievement.
Thank you very much.
Oh, not a problem. So we're going to go over your journey a little bit, and hopefully you don't mind sharing some of the twists and turns that you've had. You first started as a Tiger Cub. What do you remember about those first kind of years in Cub Scouting?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that always comes to mind for me as you know, from all my Cub Scout years, is of course the well, the campouts for one thing. You know, the opportunity to go and be a kid running through the woods with another kid. You know, with other friends around. You know, roasting marshmallows over a campfire, lighting the marshmallows on fire and flinging them around, you know, all the fun stuff that Cub Scouts get to do.
The campouts were kind of like the biggest, the highlights for you?
Yes, sir.
What were some of the challenges that you faced as a Cub Scout? Do you remember any of those?
I think one of my biggest things, for me personally, and I know that there are many other scouts out there that go through the same thing, is as a Cub Scout, I was, you know, one of the smaller boys, you know, one of the more kind of odd boys in our den. And because of that, I tended to get picked on a lot. And, you know, by the other boys, and excluded from some of their circles, partially actually because they were public schooled and I was homeschooled. That was another reason for it. But that was one of the most difficult parts for me, was, you know, kind of having to cope as a little, you know, as a child with, you know, the bullying and being picked on by, you know, a lot of the other people around me.
Right, and from my understanding, that kind of continued also into Boy Scouts as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
And we definitely want to explore that because a little bit, and because that's something that in scouting it shouldn't happen. And how does that really? That must really play hard on you, trying to, you know, understand when your leaders are teaching you one thing, and the actions aren't being coming through. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It does.
And how do you rectify that sometimes? Can you? Can you separate the two, or?
It's for me personally, it's that is one thing that I do really struggle with. And you know, so sometimes a lot of me kind of trying to figure it out is kind of, you know, sitting down with my parents and almost just kind of ranting a little bit about, you know, why none of it makes any sense, and how, you know, because I tend to see things, and I know I have Asperger's friends. I have a lot of my friends have Asperger's, or, you know, a form of it. And, you know, we all tend to see things in a black and white, right and wrong. And when the leaders, you know, are kind of on both sides, playing that gray area that we really don't see, it become, you know, it's really hard for me, and I know for my friends that are also scouts, it's really hard for them, all of us, to cope with that.
Right, and that makes a lot of sense because, you know, you're being told one thing to live by a code and a law that talks about honor and respect and a lot of other, you know, living a morally straight
yes.
lifestyle, but then you're being forced to deal with, you know, leaders not being able to stop something as simple as someone saying, you know, stop doing this.
Right. Yes, sir.
So do you have any what advice do you have to other scouts out there that may be going through similar types of situations?
That one is, you know, it's kind of almost kind of a little bit controversial subject. Well, maybe that's not the right word for it, but, you know, it's a difficult subject to, you know, really try to give advice on, because a lot of times each person's experience is different in, you know, the way that they're going through it. And, but I guess for me, one of the things that really helped me was really having my parents around. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of scouts that also come from broken homes. And you know, I was one of the blessed children, you know, all my life that I have both of my parents. And you know, they're not separated, not divorced. They're mm-hmm. I do have both of my parents. And it's given me a solid place to, or a safe place, I'll put it that way, a safe place to come back to, or you know, kind of like a haven to, that's comforting and can kind of, you know, I guess portray a feeling of protection and
right.
a place that I can go to try to sort out, you know, all of this kind of stuff when, you know, all the leaders and scouts are doing all these different things that just seem so wrong and against what, you know, the program is teaching and what they themselves are teaching.
But you still believe in the program itself quite a bit, correct?
Yes, sir, very much so.
Because I know that from talking to your mom that your intention after you turn 18 is to become an assistant scoutmaster.
Yes, sir.
And will you stay with the same? Will go back to the troop that you're currently assigned to?
Most likely, because you know, a lot of the boys that I've worked with and helped, you know, over the years that I've been in this troop specifically, are now, you know, becoming higher rank in the troop or becoming part of the troop itself, and you know, I'd like to go back and help them. And if possible, you know, keep this from further happening in at least, this troop. I know I can't, you know, work with all the troops, but, you know,
right.
at least in this troop, try to lend a hand and helping all the boys, you know, the new boys, the young boys, all the boys that, you know, have their personal issues to keep from, you know, from them having the same, you know, bad experiences that I did.
Right. Honestly, I have to say, you're truly an inspiration because a lot of times people may become what's called jaded or, you know, not feel that, you know, or disillusioned and just give up on the whole program or the whole system.
Yes, sir.
But for you to continue to advocate like that, it's really a testament to your character and the incredible I mean, the Boy Scouts should be very, very proud to be welcoming you tomorrow with your quarter pop as an Eagle Scout, because you definitely embody what this whole scouting movement should be about. And I just want to congratulate you for that as well.
Thank you.
But let's go back to your journey. Let's talk about some good stuff. How's that?
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So, in Cub Scouts, did you receive your Arrow of Light?
Yes, sir. And
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No.
A lot of it was also actually thanks to my mom too. Is I actually went over and above, and in Weeblos I also earned. I don't remember the exact name for it because I believe the award has changed slightly. But when you earn all of your
mm-hmm.
achievement pins for Weeblos,
right.
the award for that, I actually earned that as well, along with my Arrow of Light.
I think that there's 20 different activity badges.
Yes,
and
sir.
So that's pretty amazing because I was pretty active as with my oldest son as a Weeblo down later. I think he was able to get 16 of the 20.
Yes,
but,
sir.
And obviously being a Den Light leader, I was encouraged that to go as best he could. But obviously, he still did an amazing job.
Yes, sir.
So when you joined Boy Scouts, how was that transition process for you?
I think in the beginning it was probably kind of. I'll put it this way. You know, kind of a weird experience. Going from being a Cub Scout with either my mom or my dad or both always, you know, at the campouts, hands-on, helping me to earn all my requirements, always at the den meetings, to, you know, as one of the scouts looking up at the boys, or one as a Cub Scout looking up at Boy Scouts going, wow, that looks so cool. I can't wait to be there doing all of, you know, all the exciting stuff that they get to do. And then suddenly I was, and I was looking back going, you know, there's Cub Scouts behind me, and now I'm up here, and I get to do all the, you know, all the really fun Boy Scout stuff. And
yeah.
I kind of, you know, got a little bit, you know, the independence, the little bit of independence that comes with becoming a Boy Scout and kind of stepping out from underneath your parents, you know, wings and shelter of them always being there with you, and suddenly you're kind of standing by yourself, not completely, but, you know, kind of standing by yourself and doing things for yourself at that point.
It's definitely a process and a journey from getting to that point where you have to, you rely on your den leader to now you rely on your patrol, other people in your patrol.
Yeah, sure.
So what was the, so I know you like climbing. That was one of the things that your mom wanted to tell me, or you wanted to talk about, was how you like climbing. Was that one of the ultimate things that you do is your climbing?
Yes, sir. That was definitely one of the really exciting things that I always look forward to, specifically with coat, because I remember as a Cub Scout, you know, walking through the when we visited some of the Boy Scout camperees, when our den and our pack visited some of the Boy Scout camperees, and being out at the summer camps, but the district camps or the district
right.
camps, and you know, going out there and seeing their coat course, you know, and I've probably been to, I think, four or five different camps, and you know, seeing the different coat courses, and you know, well, as a Boy Scout, but you know, and as a Cub Scout, just thinking about looking up at this huge coat course and wanting to just go run and climb it, and the adult leaders, you know, going, no, no, you can't do that, it's dangerous, and there's nobody to supervise you. And then, you know, becoming a Boy Scout, and I finally got to go through it, and it was just exciting, as I always thought it would be.
Oh, very cool. Then I assume, do you do any other type of climbing, rock climbing or anything like that?
Specifically, I haven't really had the opportunity to. I would very much like to, but you know, with having, you know, having aged out of the Boy Scout program, you know, Boy Scouts was one of the was my main sort of, I guess you could say, extracurricular activity, you know, along with school and. We travel with my parents own their own business, and we travel. So the way our schedule kind of works, Boy Scouts was my big thing. And up to this point, I haven't really had the opportunity to, no, sir.
Have you been to any of the high adventure camps yet?
No, sir, I have not. You know, I was looking at going to Philmont or the new camp for Jamboree, but as a scout, I did not get a chance to visit them.
Now, what other things did you enjoy as a Boy Scout?
Probably, I think one of the, I would have to say the camping aspect was still one of the other things that I did enjoy. As a Boy Scout, possibly even more so than a Cub Scout. Because, you know, then I had, you know, I got to go build and light the fires, and, you know, we worked as together as a team of just the boys without the adult leaders standing over us, you know, and working with us. But, and along with that, I would probably have to say some of the experiences that I've had at summer camps with, you know, so some of the other merit badges like archaeology, and a lot of the memories that I got from, you know, the really good memories and fun things that I did, you know, during that time.
How many merit badges did you end up with when you finished?
38 in total. Well, 37 with a 38th merit badge that was kind of a badge that a summer camp that I went to kind of made up on its own. But I still count it. It was a valuable badge.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your is there a favorite badge that you've earned out of all of those?
I would have to say there was probably be like three or four favorite badges rather than just one.
Uh-huh.
You know, which would probably, you know, of course, would one of them would be climbing. You know, that was one badge that, you know, I absolutely loved, you know, earning that badge. And another one I would have to say, mostly because of the memories I made with at the summer camp with the scouts that were in the class, but one of them would have had to have been archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
That was the class we were with, you know, Matt managed to pull off a kind of I guess you could say an amazing feat that the camp staff had been trying to do for a while and never managed to do, and we pulled it off. So we kind of all felt proud of ourselves.
And
at the end,
that?
You know, at the end, we were actually at Camp Woodruff, which is in Upper Georgia, up around Stone Mountain, I believe. And the pit that we were digging in, it was a site that had been used for a long time, and for that badge. And I think one of the other really impressive thing that they had dug up before us was they actually unearthed. I think it was like a version of the Volkswagen minivan or the Volkswagen van that they had actually excavated and that the scouts had actually found, like stuck in the side of a hill in the area, and had dug up. And it was, you know, it was rusty, but it was sitting next to the site. But our big feat was they had in our site they had probably it had to have been about 20 feet. It was a tree stump. It was an oak tree stump that had to have been about 20 feet around, roots and all. And we, through just digging and, you know, earning the badge and having to dig for the different, you know, pottery and stuff like that, we, as a team effort, the five or six of us that were in class, by the last day of camp, the fifth day of camp before we all, you know, the closing ceremony, and we all went home, we dug out the tree stump. We all jumped on top of it and got some shovels underneath it, and we hauled the whole thing out. And if I remember correctly, we actually got called up at the closing camp choir just to be recognized, because that was something that the camp staff had been trying to do, and we managed to pull it off. So.
Excellent. Are there any other memories that you really kind of come back to you over your course of your scouting that you go, gosh, I really had a great time at that?
Yes, there have been. And a lot of it, I would have to say, you know, is probably mostly from, you know, like the merit badges that I've earned, the camps that I have been to earning merit badges, or, you know, campouts where, you know, through, you know, a mishap of horrible events that you would think was just a completely disastrous campout, we ended up having a blast. You know, the campouts that you show up and it's already pouring down raining, and you have to, you know, so yep. We set up our tents in the rain, try to, you know, start cooking. We're all wet. We're miserable. We can't get the fire started. You know, something falls down, something breaks. And by the end of the campout, we're all laughing and we've had a blast.
Yeah, I totally remember. I with my oldest son, we've definitely been through some of those already.
Yes, sir.
As far as your Eagle project, what was your Eagle project? What did you do for your Eagle project?
Well, initially, I would probably have to say, and I guess I'll say this for the sake of any other boys that are listening, you know, any other scouts that are listening that are working towards their Eagle project, I actually went through about three different ideas before I finally settled on what my Eagle project was. I actually pursued at least three different ideas before I actually settled on my final Eagle project, which was I built an outdoor chapel for the church that we attend.
Very cool.
Yes, sir. And, you know, it almost kind of, It's not huge, but it was somewhat designed almost kind of like an amphitheater slash outdoor chapel, something like that.
Now, how long did that take to construct?
In the construction phase, probably over, I believe we started and then fully completed it in about 4 weekends. But in the paperwork phase, that was the part that really took, at least in the beginning, that was the part that really took the longest, at least for me personally. I guess I don't really have a problem with it, but writing is not something that usually comes really easy to me or that I enjoy doing,
right.
Especially not filling out forms and paperwork and having to, you know, write essays and all that kind of stuff, which I had to do for, you know, to do my Eagle project. So, you know, that was, there was a lot of, you know, my mom going, okay, look, you have to get this done. So, you know, let's break it down and do it step by step. And, you know, it took quite a while, but, you know, it probably actually took me solid about 5 weeks to do all the paperwork in the beginning, you know, and to get all my numbers figured.
Absolutely, and that's why a lot of scouts never make it to that final stage, is because of that Eagle project, and because it's such a huge piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
After you completed it, I'm sure the church was very thrilled. But how did you feel after it was all completed?
Honestly, probably. The biggest feeling that I had was more of relief. Simply that it was, you know, that it was finished. And we were actually, with the way the timing worked out, we ended up having my Eagle board, which it's kind of funny because my Court of Honor is tomorrow and my Eagle board was December 20th of last year. So, you know, we're kind of the same time period that we're Eagle Court and Board of Review. But, It was a matter of relief for the whole thing, mostly because when we scheduled my board of review, I finished my paperwork on like the 18th, and then my board of review was on the 20th. So by the time I actually, you know, kind of, you know, breathed that sigh of relief at the end, you know, I had actually gotten all my paperwork signed off, and I was officially an Eagle Scout at that point. So it was kind of, you know, all those years together, you know, it was kind of that big relief at the end that I actually made it all the way.
Now, were you nervous going into your Eagle board?
Initially, yes, but the people that, and I'm sure this, you know, this has happened with many other scouts as well, the people that were on my Eagle board were, you know, people that I knew, people that liked me, that were friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, interestingly enough, the lady that our council advancement, council advancement chair, her name is Ms. Sherry Acock, and she was, you know, in charge of all my paperwork, and we've known her for quite some time, and She walked up to me before, she actually told me this when she was signing off my project paperwork, before I, you know, a few days before I actually went to my Eagle board. She turned to me and she goes, look, you're already an Eagle Scout. The only reason you're actually going to the board of review, we have all already agreed that you're an Eagle Scout, but the only reason you're going in is just for the sake of looks and, you know, because that's, you know, it's kind of the formal, the proper thing to do, you know, we have to by BSA regulation, but you're, you know, your paperwork's already signed off, but, and she looked at me and kind of wiggled her finger in my face and she goes, but if you don't invite me to your Eagle Court, I'm going to revoke your Eagle Scout.
I'm assuming she's going to be there tomorrow.
Yes, sir, she will be. She's officially opening my Eagle Court.
Oh, very nice.
And yes, sir. So, you know, it was, you know, so I was going into my Eagle board with, you know, my paperwork was, you know, was already signed off. I walked in and Ms. Sherry said, okay, hand me your paperwork. And before I actually had completely sat down in the chair, all three of the people on my board had already signed off my paperwork and handed it back to me. Then they started asking me questions. So
a little bit less of a stressful situation for you, I assume.
Yes, sir. It was actually a fairly amusing and rather enjoyable, you know, kind of experience.
Well, and you're just getting to know you for the last half an hour, 45 minutes or so. I can just totally understand what kind of a good character person you are, and I could understand why they would said what they did. So, you also have been doing some amazing stuff. In addition, helping other scouts, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I've actually been. September of 3 years ago. I always get that backwards. Anyway, we started a brother pack with our troop, Pack 210, or our troop, a brother pack for our troop 210, so it's Pack 210. At the church, and you know, my in the beginning, my mom was looking for people to help her, and she couldn't get there were no adult leaders or rather adults and parents that were willing to volunteer, because they were looking at the program going, well, this, you know, it's so much work, so much commitment. You know, I've always heard it said. That phrase, you know, that key phrase that everybody always says, it's only 1 hour a week. But the funny thing is nobody reads the fine print at the bottom that says, that's all you're left with. And, there were no parents that were willing to step up, but they were all willing to put their kids, you know, they were, you know, we had parents that were like, yes, we'll sign our kids up to participate.
But we're not going to be den leaders or on the committee,
right,
or anything else.
So she looked at me and gave me the, you know, and all scouts and kids out there know the mom look. And she turned to me and gave me
the
mom look. And she gave me the mom look and goes, I need some people that would be willing to help me start this pack, because I really think it's something that, you know, that God's put on my heart that I need to do. And, you know, it seems like it's something that was progressing. The paperwork went through fast. You know, everybody was approving it like nothing.
Right.
And, you know, so it was already off the ground, but she didn't have any leaders to fill the positions. And, so she pulled me and she needed four as den leaders, but she ended up pulling six of us all together. And me, Brandon Randall, Sam Mailer, Wesley Newton, and Paul Lagarde. So actually five, not six. And as basically something like temporary den leaders or unofficial den leaders, and you know, which it was approved by council, and you know, because they were really interested in seeing how it would go. And you know, so she looked at us and goes, all right, so 3 weeks, you know, it's a pilot program, we're going to go for 3 weeks and try to start this pack, and we'll see where it goes from there. So for the first 3 weeks of you know, for the first 3 weeks, we acted as den leaders. And at that time, I had the bear den. So, you know, every week it was plan the meeting.
Right.
And then Monday night, 6:30, you know, each of the scouts that had volunteered went in with their respective dens. And we all, we held our den meetings. We were actually the den leaders. And so at the end of that 3 weeks, another 3 weeks passed, and we were still in our positions because none of the parents would want to step up. And then finally, the 3 weeks after that, my mom steps up at a pack meeting and goes, all right, look, parents, these are scouts. They're 14, 15, 16 years old. and they can do this. If they can do this, you can do this too. And, you know, so we ended up having, you know, interestingly enough, it actually kind of seemed like, you know, the parents wanted to sign up, but they just needed to, somebody to stand behind them, give them a push to go put their name down on the paperwork. And so we actually ended up getting more than enough leaders at the time to fill what we needed at that point. And, you know, so me and three of other helpers ended up dropping into den chief positions. And then, you know, over the course of time and either, you know, the scouts either aging out or trying to, you know, trying to advance in rank so they didn't have the time to do it, I ended up becoming basically the only den chief in Pac 210. So I was kind of shared by all the dens because all the dens wanted me because by that point I was the 17-year-old life scout that knew how to do all this stuff that all the kids loved having me around because I was, you know, the older scout that was so cool. And, you know, so they were, you know, so I was kind of getting tossed back and forth between dens because they were kind of trying to pull me in different directions because everybody wanted me to help. And, you know, so I ended up serving in that position with different dens for the remainder of my time, which was a little bit more than 3 years, because I turned 18 in June of this year, and at the end of June, and I, you know, that's when I officially aged out, which is, you know, when I aged out of Boy Scouts and ended up aging out of den chiefing as well.
Right. Well, that must have been an amazing feeling for you. I mean, knowing that all of these kids were looking up to you.
Yes, sir. It definitely was. It was a rewarding feeling that, you know, a lot of people will say that you're not, that earning your Eagle Scout, you know, is just the beginning, you know, and it's kind of the start of something else, and you haven't earned your Eagle Scout until you actually give back to the program. And, you know, at that point, I had not yet earned my Eagle Scout, though, you know, over the course of the time, I had earned my Eagle Scout up into the last year. But, you know, I hadn't earned my Eagle Scout yet, but I definitely felt like, you know, through my service that I had earned my Eagle Scout. You know, I was actually an Eagle Scout at that point, even though it wasn't officially down on paper.
Right. So sometimes those are the best leaders, you know, the servant leaders, if you will.
Yes, sir.
And I had a question, because you also do something else, because I had a picture that your parents sent to me of you helping some other boys via Skype and mentoring other boys outside of the normal chains of what you would say, you know, in a meeting. Explain how that all came about and how what you do there.
Honestly, really the only boys that I'm actually mentoring are the two boys that you just referred to. And I would have to say, and I mean this in absolutely, you know, no offense to anybody, anything, that I could not stand those two boys. They were, I believe they have a more acute form of Asperger's. And when I first met them, when they came into the pack, or actually originally they had been going to the church and then they joined the pack. And, I could not stand those boys. And, you know, my mom was like, well, nobody else wants to be around them, so why don't you just give them a chance? And, you know, through you know, a few weeks of a turn of events, their dad became the den leader in the Weeblos 1 den, which is where they were, their twin boys, Steve and Dan Unkifer. And I ended up helping. Their dad became the den leader of the Weeblos 1 den, and I ended up becoming his den chief, at least for a period of time. And over the course of a few weeks, I ended up getting to know them and really connecting with them, because as it turned out, we were like almost spitting image of each other, except, you know, they were like mini versions of me, or maybe I was an older version of them, something like that. I think it goes, me, I was an older version of them. I think that's the better way to put that.
Right.
But, you know, and really, along with their sister Lucy, you know, they've really become, over the 3.5 years that I've, well, almost 4 years that I've known them, they're actually, I don't have any blood siblings, but they're the closest thing that I actually have to, you know, real siblings. And I feel like they are siblings, you know, particularly with as much time as we spent together. And though it was fun, all the abuse that I ended up taking from, you know, having two little brothers, you know, which was, like I said, it was a lot of fun. But recently, within the past year, they moved, their dad is in the Navy, and they moved to Virginia. And they joined a troop that was not, it wasn't an environment that was really encouraging them to advance. It was kind of it was a lax troop with a lot of new boys that didn't have a lot of experience with leadership or anything like that. So they really didn't know what to do because they hadn't been taught what to do. So you know, Steve and Dan were not advancing. So my mom got in touch with their mom, Miss Carrie, and through a roundabout course of events, I now, I guess you could say, mentor them on over Skype with, you know, helping them to advance, teaching them the skills, and then, you know, they'll take it to their scoutmaster and, you know, prove that they know it, and then he'll sign them off. So
that's just amazing, because my oldest son is really into technology as well, and to use that technology to help others is just a really, again, another testament to your wonderful character. So just kudos to you for what you do, what you're doing across the board, as far as that's concerned.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Is there anything that you'd like to share with you know, our audience about anything, any of your experiences, anything that's important to you that you'd like to share? We still have a little extra time, so we're more than happy to have some for you to have your time.
Yes, sir. I would probably have to say, in address to all the scouts that are listening to this program right now, and any parents of scouts, that their scouts are struggling or, you know, have kind of either, I guess you could say, either kind of fallen by the wayside or kind of just gone, I guess, stale on the program and in advancing. You know, it's a really great program. It's, you know, the experiences and the lessons you can learn through the program are life lessons that you will always take with you. And, you know, they're really valuable life lessons that you will always take with you. And the biggest thing is to not give up. You know, it's I can't tell you how many times, you know, not to harp on the bad instances, but, you know, how many times, either as a Cub Scout from being bullied or as a Boy Scout from being bullied, coming home and just, you know, after years of being bullied for, you know, my personal oddities, you know, coming home and just being like, Mom, that's it. I can't do this anymore. You know, I can't take it. I'm going to quit. There's, you know, I'm done. You know, it's not worth taking all this, you know, abuse for, you know, to try to push through to this thing, you know, to earn my eagle. And she would look at me and go, you know, with the mom look, no, you're not going to quit, because later on down the road, you'll thank me for this, and you're not going to quit. I'm not going to let you quit. And, you know, that was really, that particularly was one of the main things that actually kept me in scouting for a long time. And, you know, and now, having been all the way to the end, I look back on it and realize that all the experiences I had, both good and bad, the good far outweigh the bad. All the memories that I look back on and laugh with, all, you know, the scouts that, you know, the good friends in scouting that I have made, both leaders and boys, that, you know, all the fun times we had on campouts that were just, you know, horrible, awful campouts that we look back on and laugh because it was, you know, so funny, or all the really amazing experiences we've had, you know, going to events where you see 600 Boy Scouts lined up in a row of troop and American flags, you know, for like an eighth of a mile lined up, you know, standing at a flag ceremony, you know, on like, you know, in the morning on an opening day of summer camp or something like that, you know, and all the experiences that have outweighed, far outweighed the bad. And, you know, I say this to all the scouts, it's really not worth giving up. There's too many good times that you can have if you want to have, you know, if you want to have the good experiences. There's too many good experiences that you can get out of the program to give up for the few bad as it may seem. And through personal experience, sometimes trying to find those good experiences, it can become necessary, you know, to change to a different troop or find a different pack in your area that, you know, is more suited to your needs, or, you know, to you know, maybe even has, you know, you could say has more friendly people that are willing to work with you. You know, it's there's so many good things, you know, so many experiences that, you know, it's not worth missing out on. And I can, you know, I can really say that, you know, that's all, you know, throughout the rest of my life, some of my best memories are going to be from, you know, Boy Scouts and the lessons that I learned there because I didn't give up and because my parents didn't let me give up. So.
That's awesome. That's definitely a true. Your story is definitely one of inspiration. And I personally am very honored that you spent this time with us. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the air with us. And I would like to also congratulate you once again for your Eagle Court of Honor tomorrow. I wish, in some ways, hopefully your mom can take lots of pictures. She can send them to us, and we'll post them up on our Facebook page for you.
Yes, sir, we will.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joey, and you have a wonderful day, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was Joey. What an amazing guy. From both everything that he's done to be just a complete inspiration to other scouts. Thank you all for coming and joining us today. We want to thank you, and we'll see you back here shortly.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you all, and have a great day.